Perek Beis Mishnah Ches of Rosh Hashanah. So now we're talking about practicalities of accepting Eidos and how it worked and so on. So the first thing it says is Demus Tsuros Levanos Hayilo L'Rabban Gamliel B'Tabala U'V'Chosel B'Aliyoso, which means he had Demus is like from the domain likenesses, let's call them images for a second, of Tsuros Levanos, of pictures of the moon that he had, Rabban Gamliel had on a tablet and on the wall in his attic. So this is upstairs in his house is where they would meet to do Rabban Gamliel. I mentioned this before, I'll remind you. When it says Rabban, I should have said it before, Rabban ticks you off, clues you in that this person is the Nasi. Only the Nasi gets Rabban. Everyone else is Rebbe or nothing. So Rabban, our master. So the place they normally were Mekadosh the Chodesh and Ma'abar the Shana, like the extra day for the month and the extra month for the year, was in this place, in the Kotel up here. Before I explain, I saw that the article wrote it down in the footnotes, I forgot where, some sort of off the beaten track book, that the sociological Matthias was in those days, people lived on the ground floor of a two-story house, and then the Aliyah, the upstairs, was like where they entertained guests and had meetings and so on. That's why it's always happening in the Aliyah. You'll see, like, throughout Shas, you'll see, like, it's always, all the action that was happening in the Aliyah of someone's house. Like, that's what's going on. The Aliyah was like the office, if you will, the upstairs. So, yes. Let me get there back in a second. We'll get there in a second. Shebehen, and with these pictures of the moon, Mara es hahediotos. He would show them to the hediot is a. It's a Hebrew word that's really sucked out from Greek, and it means like regular, as opposed to special. So, for example, if you have like. You can have a Kohen Hediot, which means like as opposed like a regular Kohen, as opposed to like a Kohen Gadol, a special Kohen, if you will. So Hediot just means like, you know, simple people. Although obviously you, I'm sure, can hear the etymological connection to the word idiot in English. That's where it comes from. Sure, simpleton. I'm saying idiot. Obviously, is necessarily a pejorative in English. Hediot. You know, maybe like Amma Arts, it's not necessarily a pejorative in the Mishnah. And here it doesn't mean to say they're stupid people. It means they're simple people. And they were incapable, you know, people were generally more or less unlettered and certainly not educated like we are today. To describe the moon and the angles and which, you know, on the horizon, east and west, like it was all too complicated for people. So you would say, Va'omer. Hakazer Isa or Kazer? Like, you know, here are the moons. What did it look like to you? Like this picture, or like this picture, or like this picture? So that they could get a clear, you know, obviously very sensible way of doing things, because people aren't used to describing how the moon looks and angles and that kind of stuff. In America, it's the same, that's the same thing in America. I forgot the definitions. Like moron, idiot, imbecile. I think imbecile is the lowest in America. But anyways, but the point is, all that aside, I think it's become out of fad. It's not nice anymore.
Not
I guess it's analogous. Here, this Hediot is not a judge. He's just a regular Joe off the street who came in and said, I saw the moon. Hediot means like a regular. Right. Hediot is as opposed to a specialist. But I'm telling you, it could be like a Cohen specialist or a... Exactly. Hediot means like a regular guy. That's what it means. Regular. Exactly. Maisa Hediot can also mean like exactly, as opposed to like a professional, as opposed to a professional work of job, which is like a regular, non-specialized job. Yeah. Now, in terms of the question of the moon, so there's a pasuk in Shmos, Chav Shmos. It says, Losasun iti, don't make them with me, which they learn out, that you can't make the things serve with Hashem, you can't make images of things that serve with Hashem, I, the sun and the moon, and the stars. And we actually pass that lahalacha, you're not allowed to make images of the sun or the moon or the stars. Lahalacha lamaisa, you can ask your local, like, because Well, not at all. Not at, you're not allowed to make them. So some people say, like, the star, for example, like, that is not how stars look. So it's like a caricature of a star. That could be okay. But like, if you're going to draw, like, a picture of the sun on your picture, so to speak, you really should do it the halal lacha, like, in the corner, like how when they did it, like, the third grade, in, like, the corner of the picture, you know, so, like, with the air, you know what I'm talking about? It's, like, in the corner, it's, like, so, like, a semicircle or, like, a quarter circle, and it's shining in, because then it's got a pegima, it's got a something missing from it. But, yeah, defect, that's the word. But to write a complete picture of the sun or the moon, a depiction of the sun or the moon or the stars is forbidden, even Ali Day Goy. And therefore, that's a good question. Photographs. What's with photographs? It's a good question. I'm not sure. I think, yeah, sure. You have pictures. What's the deal? Sorokhian. That's, I think it's Yerodea Kuf. Yerodalid, maybe. But I'm, the article probably has the footnote at the bottom. I'm sure that's the
word. Where
it
is. Take a picture towards the sun anyway.
Yeah, that.
No,
true.
It's not the
those are stars.
Stop.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, halachal maisal maisal, I'm not 100% sure, actually, about photographing so. But you're not supposed to make these pictures, and it's awesome for sure. So the question then becomes, even Ali Day Goy, how in the world did Rav Gamliel get these, you know, what's he doing with these pictures of the moon? That's awesome. So the Gemara asks the question, the Gemara gives different answers. It says, they'll obviously have different nafkaminas, la halacha. One of them is that in a public place, like where Rav Gamliel's doing his thing, these moons are not going to be used for worshipping, obviously. That's one approach. The second approach is, for the sake of Talmud Torah, you're allowed to do it. So that's a separate statement altogether. There's a third answer brought down that I forgot. That's right. That would be, exactly. That's the Talmud Torah. Yeah, the third shot was like a different kind of shot. Is that the moon was made of different like pieces, like sort of like, I guess I'm imagining like a jigsaw puzzle that like he assembled and disassembled, so like it was inherently like not a complete thing. Obviously they'll have different nafkaminas. Okay, the bottom line is that is the question, that is the answer for this part of the Mishnah here. Okay. Now on like new story, we're gonna have two stories here of something that actually happened. The first story is we'll do one at a time. First story is this. Maisa, once it happened, Shabao Shnaim, two people showed up, Va'amru, and they said, Re'inuhu Shachris b'Mizrach Va'arvis b'Marav. We saw the moon both in the morning and in the nighttime. In other words, for argument's sake, here just to say, they're coming on, let's say, Thursday evening. Oh, sorry, they're coming on Friday, let's say, they're coming on Friday morning, and they're saying, on Thursday, last Thursday evening, let's call it last night, which is, let's say, the 30th, the beginning of the 30th, and then Friday morning is the day of the 30th, we saw the new moon. But they're also saying that not only on Thursday evening, what we call Thursday evening, beginning of Yom Shishi, but also on Thursday morning at sunrise, we also saw the moon. Now, in two different directions. In other words, remember, I told you the way it works, that in the beginning of the month, the moon, so to speak, follows the sun. So the sun sets, and then right behind it, the moon sets. And as we know that we discuss how a face like that. But the point is, it's facing one direction, right? With horns away, let's call it. At the end of the month, the sun really follows the moon, so to speak, which means that it's going to be moonrise followed by sunrise. Okay? And the moon will be facing the other direction. Right? Again, horns away. But So they say we saw both. Thursday morning, we saw it at sunrise, just ahead of sunrise, and at Thursday night, we saw it just after sunset. Now, the problem with that is that it's astronomically impossible. It can't be like that. Interestingly, the Gemara says that there's a 24-hour period where the moon can't be seen, a day where it can't be seen, and that's why it's impossible. It has to be 24 hours, there's nothing, so it has to be seen both on the same day. Interestingly, the Rambam, right in the beginning, in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel, says it's about 2 days that it's missing, which is interesting that the Rambam says something explicitly different than, he says about, he equivocates, but it's about 2 days, he says, roughly 2 days. The truth is, based on the Chesed of the Rambam, who learns to do the math, the Rambam's Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh is pretty mathematical. So if you do the math, it comes out, he says you can't see before 9 degrees elongation between the sun and the moon. And you can figure out there, he gives the rate of the sun and gives the rate of the moon as it moves across the sky. If you do the math, you see the moon moves at, let's call it half a degree at half a degree an hour. It's actually 30 minutes and 29 seconds of arc length, if you care. So you do the math, you can see that it comes out exactly, there are 17.7 hours that the moon, rounded up to 18 per second, that the moon can't be seen on each side of the sun. So that would mean, because it's less than 9, it's within 9 degrees. So let's call it 17.7 or call it 18. Double is 36 hours, so basically 1.5 days. Okay? Sorry? Because on each side, within nine degrees of the sun, you can't see it neither here nor there. So it's 17.7 times 2, actually, because that's a 35.4, right, hours. So that's what the Rambam equivocates. That's what based on the Rambam's calculations, therefore the Rambam equivocates and says it can't be seen for about 2 days. So it depends. Anyway, the point is 1 day is impossible. Actually, of interesting note here, Sky and Telescope of May 1995 reports that the closest it's ever been observed, the old moon to the new moon, is 35.9 hours. So, consistent with the Rambam. I think the Rambam's rate of the moon's movement is actually accurate to the arc second. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's that. So bottom line is that's impossible. So now what do you do with Adam? Adam came in and they made a testimony which is impossible. So now you're gonna normally postulate Adam based on the fact that they're Edei Sheker. They're obviously liars because they didn't see this. They couldn't have seen both. So they're self-contradicting themselves, and therefore you want to reject them. However, so the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Edei Shekerhem. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, forget it, these guys obviously are liars, and therefore you can't accept their testimony. However, Kishibol Yavne, when they showed up in Yavne, that's where the Sanhedrin sat, Rabban Gamliel, Kiblu Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel accepted, Kablan, Rabban Gamliel, he accepted them. So he accepted the testimony. So that's interesting. So the story's like this. He says, Rabban Gamliel said, it's true that obviously the testimony can't wash. However, based on the calculations, indeed the new moon did show up last night, so therefore we should believe that they saw it. And what they think they saw in the morning, well, it is described to being like a cloud or something that they mistook for the moon. So that's interesting. The Basin knew the answer before it started. They knew whether or not the moon was going to show up. So this is I don't say it's a formality, that's not fair, but on some level it's a formality to get Adam, because they know the answer. They just want to get corroborated. They need witnesses that corroborate the story. So, as it happens, by the way, it's a well-known phenomenon. If any astronomical phenomenon is well-known, this is a well-known phenomenon, that in the winter months especially, ice particles in the upper atmosphere, close to sunrise and sunset, actually make little, what are called perihelial arcs around the sun. They look like little moons. So, although the way the Gemara describes it is, like, perhaps it was like, they saw clouds, but anyways, indeed, it's like little, there are indeed like things that look like little crescents around the moon, around the sun, I should say, around sunrise and sunset, and indeed, you could mistake that for being a real moon. So that's what Rabban Gamliel chalked it up to.
Do those crescents face the right way?
Can do, they go around the sun, yeah.
No, I'm saying,
seeing
how we're talking about the points facing towards or facing away, are they oriented correctly?
I think actually it would face towards the sun. Truth is. The horns, I think, would face towards the sun. It's I don't call it an optical illusion, but it's an optical phenomenon of how ice particles diffract light.
So it looks a little light.
Yeah. So they're saying that you see little crescents, like, you know, little semicircles around the sun that look like they could be moons. Yeah.
So basically, they accepted only half of their testimony.
Exactly, which is very unusual.
Well, there are some that bring a riot from here. They ask a question: what about AJ Hazom?
Kiddush Chodesh.
So they say they're not even high Malkus because you don't have to accept.
Uh-huh. You see, Kiddush Chodesh is a little weird compared to other kinds of. The Eidus for Chodesh is a little different than other kinds of Eiduses, because here they know there's no suffix about. They'll know if it couldn't be seen or it could be seen. They're just waiting for someone to say what they saw. So you see, there's Machlokus here at Tanaim if you accept testimony that is, you know, got problems to it. Here, Rabban Gamliel is asking, you accept it, and that's that. And that's the halacha. It's hard to see. And they're busy. It's a small window, and it's really hard to see. It's really, really hard to see. How many times have you seen the new moon? No, it's hard to see. You're thinking there's this big moon in the sky. I'm telling you, at 9 degrees elongation, get this. I told you the formula. The width of the crescent is 1/81st of the radius of the moon. You don't have a big moon in the sky. Take that in half, then divide it into 81 parts, right? And that is the thickest part of the moon when it's new. It's a tiny, tiny sliver on the horizon, occluded by a sunset. Then you know it's not a dark horizon. And this ends. You've got to be looking at the right place at the right time and look carefully. I'm sure you've experienced, by the way, many times around sunset. Like, you can do it tonight if you want. Venus is bright now. You can look right at the sunset, go out with three people, and look for Venus. It'll be near the sunset. First guy will see it and say, "Oh, there it is." And then he'll say, "Where?" And he says, over there. And he'll say, I don't see it. It takes a long time, so your eye like adjusts exactly the right focal length and brightness to see it. You'll see. You'll realize it's hard to spot things. No, it's not. It's small. Go see. Go look at the moon when it's close to the sun. It's hard to spot. In any case, that's a Metzius. That's a fact. You see, obviously in this case, forget the dynamo. There are no other dynamo. It's hard when it's close to the sun because the sun is bright and the moon is dim. And it's very, very thin. Yeah, but here, obviously in this story here, there weren't other Adam. There would have been other Adam, obviously they would have relied on the better ones. This is all they have to go with. They only have two Adam. These Adam have a problem in their testimony, but the math says that the new moon indeed showed up that night, so now we'll accept them. That's story number one. You don't see the moon. The moon is right next to the sun. It's gone. Yeah, you could just come. We discussed this for already a couple of days, like the math and how it looks. It's not an eclipse. That's not. But it's hard to spot, and it's a short window, and it's faint. It's a faint moon in a bright sky close to the horizon. It's hard to spot. Okay, now that's that. That's story number one. Story number two is va'od. Another thing happened. Bo'ishnaim, two guys showed up. Va'amru re'inu bizmano. We saw it in its proper time. In other words, the same story I said before. They come on Friday morning, they say on Thursday night, we saw it. And Thursday night is the beginning of the 30th day. So we're saying, therefore, that that last month was 29-day month. It's a short month. And now we're going to be Mekadosh to Chodesh early. On the earlier of the two possibilities. Uvaleil iburo. But then the next night, the night after they've now said that literally iburo means the night of its pregnancy, because we said a full month is called a mubar, like a pregnant month, so to speak, got an extra bit to it. So the next night, in other words, on Friday night, they look up in the sky, in our story here. This happened, by the way, so if you pay attention here, it happened on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rosh Chodesh Elul. Yeah, that's right. Now, so anyways, so on, that'll be relevant in a second. So on Friday night, they look up in the sky. So now it's the beginning of day base, and they don't see the sun yet. They don't see the moon yet, not there in the sky. So that means the Moed will happen sometime during the course of the day. It wasn't visible at the time of sunset, but anyways, it's 30. It'll be last month will be 30 days, and this 31st day will be in Mekudash, like it or not. That's the only option. But the problem is, if we discussed it, every night the moon moves eastward roughly 12 degrees as it goes up. So if you'd see it on Thursday night, let's say, for argument's sake, you know, whatever it is, you know, 10 degrees off the horizon, at sunset, so then the next day it's going to be 22 degrees off the horizon at sunset. 22 degrees separated from the sun, more precise. But anyways, the point is, it's moving across the sky 12 degrees a day, so that means it should be higher up and brighter and bigger. So the problem is, the next day they looked in the sky, expecting to see now the moon, now for everyone to see, the new moon you're expecting to be used to seeing, because you think, oh, it's bright in the sky, and it shows up. They looked, but it wasn't there. They said, uh-oh, that means, if it's not there tonight, so then obviously it couldn't have possibly been there last night.
Maybe they saw it as it was dissolving.
Yeah, but then the next day, everyone should see it. It should be bigger and brighter. So where is it? Where'd it go? Where did the moon go? That's the issue here. They claim they saw it. The next day, everyone looked and they didn't see it. So you can't have it both ways. It could be that you don't see it for both nights, because we said it can be 35 and a half hours minimum. So you see, if that happens at the nighttime hours, you won't spot it. You just have to be Mekadosh. The new moon is, sometimes the new moon is born during the daylight hours. I'm talking astronomically speaking. So they'll be born on the 31st day. So what? The Mekadosh 31st day, no matter what. The issue here is, what they're testifying that they saw is impossible. There's no way you could possibly see it at sunset on Thursday nights and then not see it at sunset on Friday night if the sky is clear. That's the issue here. So again, Bo Shnayim, the two guys came, but Amru Re'inu Bizmano, we saw it in its time, meaning on the night of the 30th, say Thursday night, Uvalel Iburo, then it's called the 31st day from the new month, when that's a Friday night, Lo Nira, there was no moon to be seen. The Kiblan Rabban Gamliel, and even so, Rabban Gamliel accepted their Eidus. Okay? According to his calculations, it was visible the previous night, so he says their testimony must be good. And you want to know why the moon is invisible tonight? He shrugged his shoulders, I don't know, maybe there's clouds blocking it, I can't tell you why. But that's not my problem.
Only the calculations show that it's possible
to see. That's right. His calculations say it's visible. It should be theoretically visible, and the fact that you don't see it the next night is, I don't know. He says I don't know. What do you want from me? But whatever happened. But you can't see it today because it looks clear, but there are really clouds. What do you want? It's dark in the sky. I don't know. Okay. So that's what he said. Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus said, no way. Eidei Shekhar. These guys are obviously liars. How can they possibly testify on a woman? They're speaking obviously metaphorically. She yalda. They say the woman gave birth. Ulamachar, and the next day, kreisa bein shinah. Literally, her stomach is between her teeth. Literally, I mean, she's got a huge stomach. You see, you say she gave birth, the next day you see she's got a big belly. Obviously, she didn't give birth there, or where did that belly come from? So too, don't tell her the moon is born again when you see the next night. There's no moon to be born yet. There's no way you can have it both ways. So therefore, Rabbi Dosa bar Hyrcanus says you can't accept his edom. Therefore, he wants to reject the Eidus, and therefore, they wouldn't retroactively. He wants to undo the Kiddush HaKodesh. That's how pretty much everyone learns. Pretty much everyone learns, the Rambam aside, that their testimony. Yeah, that's how it works. It's trying to undo things retroactively. Okay. Now, same as the previous story also, it's an attempt to do retroactive. Everyone but the Rambam learns that way. That's the way it is. Now, Amar Lo Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua, who was the Av based in. But, as will be evident from the mission itself, he was actually greater than the Nasi, Rabban Gamliel. But Rabban Gamliel is the boss. And Rabbi Yeshua says, Roa ani es devarecha. He says, and he says, you know what? I agree with you, those of Hyrcanus. You're right. Their testimony should be rejected, and we should change the day to one day forward.
So the fact was that Rabban Gamliel made a mistake in his calculations. That's how historically
did. No, not necessarily. We'll see in the next one. Now, yeah. So now, I said something very wrong a second ago. I'm sorry. When I said it was Rosh Chodesh Elul, I was wrong. Sorry. This is Rosh Hashanah. We're not talking Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. I'm sorry. So, yeah. Sorry, that's what I meant, but not what I said. So now you're going to have a big problem here. Like, the Mishnah ends here, to be continued, .. the soap opera. Now you've got a big problem. Because now it's going to make Yom Kippur fall on two different days. Okay, you've got Rabban Gamliel saying Yom Kippur's falling whatever, next Tuesday, and Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it's falling on Wednesday. Uh-oh, that's bad. Okay, so that's where the Mishnah ends. Mishnah test picks up with what happens next.